Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I am Gaius, John Bachelor, Mark of Lejos, Germanicus, and we're by the Thames. We're going to a staging of Antigone later. It's a Greek tragedy. There's a lot of weeping. Antigone takes forever to be dragged off and executed. Good heavens. However, we're going to tell a tale of the 21st century that doesn't require weeping. Maybe laughter. This is an antidote to Antigone. I want to have a good evening. Germanicus, the Republican Party, these days is making it very clear that the theme to be pursued for foreign policy is associated with isolationism. One, the former President Donald Trump has made it very clear that he has no interest in prosecuting in any fashion the war in Europe as the Biden administration has this last year. Two, the Speaker of the House, Kevin McCarthy, has made it very clear that he hesitates to attend President Zelensky and Kyiv and make the ceremonial walk around the square in wartime. Three, the very prominent governor of Florida, a man who is seen as a future presidential leader by elements of the Republican Party, especially in Florida, has made remarks that are ambiguous, but they lead to believe that he does not endorse the Biden administration's wholehearted, whatever it takes, embrace of Ukraine's war. That's enough to suggest there's a theme in the Republican Party today. There are other voices. There are the neocons. There are the hawks. But there is a theme that very much reminiscent of the isolationists of the late 1930s, very much associated with hesitation by the Republican Party over the years to get involved in foreign wars. Here it is again, Germanicus, and I don't believe there's a remedy. I think you wait it out. Another way you get rid of it, of course, is you get attacked. That worked in 1941. Is that needed again?
What's needed, I think, is for someone or some group, better yet, among conservatives or people of red to reshape the narrative of what happened in the 1920s and 30s. It's been too long owned by one-dimensional neocons and the specter of Munich and of America, under the thumb of America firsters who were under the surface closet, sympathizers of Hitler, like Henry Ford or Charles Lindbergh. This is a canard, and it's wrong. In the period between the two world wars, which is often called isolationist, the U.S. was anything but. We had the largest navy in the world, and shortly after the Republicans took control from the failed presidency of Mr. Woodrow Wilson, the Republicans created a security and arms control pact that spanned all the major powers, except for Russia and Germany, which were at that point brought down. And it held for 15 years. And that arms control agreement forced Britain to give up her naval power, half of her fleet. How could we have done that except by the enormous authority that we wielded? And that authority was vested in the fact that, A, we had an economy that was 30% of the world's GDP. And B, we had lent hundreds of billions in today's dollars, perhaps even trillions, to Britain, to France, and to Russia. And we were underwriting the loans, like the Dawes plan, that were meant to rescue Germany and keep her afloat. And so the great powers of the world were all beholden to us. Plus, we had 12 gunboats up the Yangtze and Yellow Rivers. We had a marine brigade in Shanghai. We had an army brigade just 50 miles from Beijing. And our embassy guard in Beijing numbered 700 Marines, the size of a battalion. We were the leaders in world technology, especially in aviation, and we ruled supreme. In many ways, the U.S. was more internationalist and had more leverage. For example, the compact that we made with the Saudis, creating Aramco, secured our leverage over the Middle East up through today. It's a remarkable story, and in comparison to the so-called isolationist U.S. in the 20s and 30s, today we look weak and fragile and unhinged as we thrash about searching for monsters to destroy and somehow to prove that we are worthy of being the world's leader. We were the world's leader in the 20s and 30s. We just don't see it today.
And the contest ahead, the 2024, the Democrats will come forward, and when we have confidence that the president is running for re-election, these will be stronger statements. Right now, it certainly looks that way. The Democrats will support the war in Ukraine. They will support the weapon systems, bigger and bigger weapon systems pouring into the region. And the Republicans have no answer other than to say it's none of our affair. Isolationism always is welcome in America, but it's never a winner. Why is that, Germanicus?
That presupposes the scenario you laid out for 24. It presupposes that the Ukraine war is still ongoing. And my bet would be that it will be over and done with, and it will be seen as the most colossal American defeat this century and last. Or perhaps ever. And the only responsible course at that point will be one of restraint and regrouping and rebuilding. This is, in effect, what was handed to the Republicans when they took office after the departure of Woodrow Wilson. And it was a real gift. In other words, Woodrow Wilson's huge messianic overextension in terms of trying to create a League of Nations and corral the U.S. into it, gave the Republicans not only the election, it also gave them a road ahead that Americans liked, that was good for America, and that actually allowed America to exercise its strength even as it was restrained, and as I was trying to describe a minute ago. And I fully expect that that will be the case come 2024. It's still some time away. And I don't think that this war can be sustained. It doesn't matter what weapons we give. You mentioned all the MiG-29s and others that the Poles will be giving Ukraine. Those planes can't do very much, just as Russian planes can't do very much. The Russian air defenses are so good, but those planes won't be able to do much of anything without getting shot down. I don't think there's anything we can really give Ukraine now, short of full Polish-American military intervention, that would be able to save Ukraine. And the problem is that when all the dust settles and we can see what we've done by pursuing a policy that harnessed Ukraine and forced it to fight a hopeless war, we will lose much of our moral stature. And so if by some incredible means Ukraine is able to hold on and Russia stumbles badly, I suppose that could happen, then things might look different. But we're teetering on the edge, both in terms of the delusional presentation we make of Ukraine and its chances for victory, but we're also teetering on the edge of what we've done the actions we've taken and forced on Ukraine are being exposed to the world. And that will be a terrible blow to the U.S., much worse than the money we've squandered or the fact of a Ukrainian defeat. It's the way we work the angles that was so deceitful and is going to be probably the biggest blowback we've ever experienced.
Marco Vlejos is Germanicus. I am Gaius, John Batchelor. We now come to the celebratory part of our Sunday evening, reflecting on the 21st century, the first century AD. We're off to the theater, sacrificing to Augustus, and maybe a little sacrifice to Domitian, our emperor, who's troubled. And then we're going to see a Greek presentation of Antigone. Sophocles didn't do politics the way we understand it here in Rome. He didn't reward might. Everybody dies in this play, except Creon, the man who attempts to impose for Thebes law. And then at the end, his wife is dead, his sons are dead, Antigone's dead. Everybody's dead around him, and the chorus condemns him. The Greeks call this tragedy. We Romans are puzzled. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.